Suppose you had to explain to a group of people or to the church what happened when Mary visited little Elizabeth. Just go ahead. What would you say? And how would you open this up so that people would see that this eternal reality, Mary's visit to Elizabeth, is an eternal reality? Time is our idea of reality. It's not God's. And our idea of history is succession. What you see in God, it's all totally present. You know, for eternity, millions and millions of people will spend thousands and thousands of their years of their life. There's no years, but you know what I mean. Gazing on this visit. Exploiting all the wonders of what happened here. Now, how would you go about it? Suppose the Pope said to you, you're back in the 3rd century or something, do something to explain to the church. Begin to open up their spirit to the reality of this visit of Mary to Elizabeth. What I'm trying to point out is revelation is in action. And the words minister and open up the action. This is not the way we think. We are so word-oriented and so word-engulfed so that everything becomes just words about words. But suppose you had to do that. Well, what would you do? Well, first, you'd pray and fast like crazy. So that, because I'm shocking you this morning, aren't I? This is an eternal reality. How many times have you said it on the rosary? And what happens? Usually you're thinking about the groceries and, you know, I mean. Suppose once the Holy Spirit just opened this up for you. You'd be breathless. And this is not, you know, this is not the death of our Lord on the cross, which is the mystery. This is a visit of Mary to Elizabeth. But who is Mary carrying? The eternal Son of God. And yet, who is she? A young woman going to serve her older relative who is more pregnant than she is to be there and help her at the birth. That's already beautiful, isn't it? That's just the beginning. This is what the liturgy is, my friends. You see, it takes these realities and breaks them open for us with a wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. If we just take the Mass, which is partly the liturgy, but the heart, the Eucharistic part, celebrate. All right. So, first reading, we have this from Zephaniah. Now, you see what we're trying to do. We've only got a few minutes, but I'm trying to, you know. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord's removed the judgment against you. Turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. There is Israel. There is daughter Zion. There is, and to her, Mary is addressed. The Lord is in your midst. Well, he sure is. He's in her womb. But there she is, embodying the whole mystery of Israel and of the church. The Lord is in our midst. The womb by which Christians are born is the baptismal font. And that is the structure. And around it is the preaching. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty Savior. How many times in your midst, in your midst, in your midst? Yeah, that's Mary, pregnant with the Son of God, yes. And that's the church, bearing Christ in the very midst of her being, to carry it to the world. And we've only begun. He will rejoice over you with gladness. and renew you in His love. He will sing, God will sing joyfully because of you. As one sings at the festivals. God will do that. He rejoices over His church. And in the church, there is one who just sums up all church, Mary. And He sings over her. And He sings over us. So you might start there. You might start with this text of Zephaniah. Begin to break open this eternal. I tell you, there are people right now gazing on this reality of Mary visiting Elizabeth. And they're holding their breath, even though they've been in heaven for a million years, thousands of years. And to gaze on the depth of what happened here. Do you think the church is foolish? Tells us every two or three times a week, meditate on this mystery. Why? To begin heaven. To gaze on this. Or, and this used to be the reading for the feast. At least it was an alternate reading. Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping across the hills. My lover is like a gazelle. This is the Elizabeth. This is every believing soul. Here comes my beloved in the womb of Mary, born by Mary. You want to do a theology of the mediatrix of all graces? You start here. Who bears Christ to the world? Mary. He's in her womb. And even when she gives birth, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. We think of mediation like, here's Jesus and here's Mary and she's like between us. And no, Christ is in her. I live, not I. Christ lives in me. And the Christ in Mary is the one who makes her the mediatrix of all graces. Mediatrix is probably not a great word. We need a better one, and that's why it hasn't been defined yet as a dogma. We're still looking for the right word. But do you see the enormity of what we're dealing with? And the beauty of what we're dealing with? And the role of the liturgy is to break this open for us. There he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattices. You get the mystery. Arise, my beautiful one, and come. Oh, let me see you. Let me hear your voice. Can you hear Jesus saying that to you? Just talk to me. I want to hear your voice. You can recite the Star Spangled Banner if you want. I just want to hear your voice. That's Jesus. See, that's love. That's the mystery of the church. Oh, my goodness, and we've only begun. I mean, and I got to quit pretty soon. But you see? And then we come to Luke. Who has been granted by God the grace to write this story in a way that if your spirit is alert, you are overwhelmed. Mary sent out and she went and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting and the infant leapt in her womb. This is a moment of grace. The voice of Mary. Let me hear your voice. The voice of Mary filled with Christ. And John, leaps. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, most blessed are you among women. The first beatitude of the Gospels. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Oh, what a blessing. I remember once standing on a street corner in Jerusalem with a young couple, French, and she had her baby in a wicker basket, you know, holding it, put it down there, wait for the light to change. And two Arab women came up, stood on the other side, and they looked at that baby. And right there on the street, they began to praise God. That's normality. And this is the living, eternal Son of God. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me? That the mother of my Lord, that's theology, the mother of my Lord, that was what was affirmed at Ephesus in 431. She is Theotokos, the mother of God. It's here. And how does he word this? This is what David says when the ark is brought into Jerusalem. And who am I that the ark of my Lord should come to me? She's the ark. Do you understand? Trying to help us be touched by this reality. Open up your hearts. Open up. And how is this that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That the ark of my Lord should come to me? The Torah is in her womb. The moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. And now another beatitude. Mary, blessed are you who believed. Do you start to see the myriad aspects of this one gesture? That what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. You believed him. That angel said, you will be pregnant and you will bear the successor, the Son of David, who will rule over the world forever. And she believed him. And now she's got, you know, to explain it to Joseph, explain it to her father. I mean, but she believed him. And then, and Mary said, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then the whole law of all the relationship of the world to God, right? He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. We even got musical accompaniment to go with that. See? He fills the hungry with good things. This is a law. And it's a law that Mary has experienced in the very depth of her being. This is what liturgy is, my friends. It breaks open these breathtaking realities. This is why it takes 50 days to open up the mystery of Easter. This is why it's so precious.